The following recording, Virginia 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma? Comma?" which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to it. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, Comma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Virginia in October of 1932. My mother says that they had to light a fire in the fireplace to keep the bedroom warm. She told me of the wallpaper with the roses and of the beautiful organdy lace curtains at the window. I was raised in Martinsville, Virginia, schooled, loved, and married there. Our second child was born in Martinsville. My father, a born and bred North Carolinian, met, wooed, and married my mother. In fact, they eloped back to North Carolina to be married. Martinsville, at the time that I was growing up, was a small little community. But by the time I hit high school, DuPont had built a plant there. And from all over the country came these foreigners with dialects we didn't quite understand, but who improved the quality of life in Martinsville immensely. The education system in our high school was equal to the first 2 years of college in any university in Virginia. I married my husband in Martinsville, Virginia. We left there and after 20-some moves have come to Alabama. Martinsville was located on that edge of the Carolina line. And if you wanted to be really a rowdy teenager, you got into a car driven by a young man that had a rumble seat, and you drove across the line to North Carolina to a place called Spooky Hollow and danced to the jukebox. This was the time of growing up. This was the time of World War II. This is when I would go to a movie for 25 cents, could stay all day, pay 10 cents for my popcorn. These were happy, beautiful times. But the most gorgeous times in my life came after I was married and moved all over the country. And I was teased about my southern accent. I was teased that I could be found anywhere in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because of the way I talked. But ironically enough, during that point of my life, there was a President Johnson in the White House. And many of the people thought I had come from Texas, because their only exposure was to hear Lady Bird Johnson. My southern drawl has always proved me well, even though I thought everyone talked like I did. Until
the moves. The moves have made me listen. The moves to Indiana began to tell me that, one, they had no mountains, and two, they talked flat. The move back south, though, to the deep south, was a rude awakening. How dare they call Virginia northern? Every ancestor that I had rolled over in their grave the first time I had a friend in Alabama say, "Oh, you really are from the north." However, the deep south welcomes you to their bosom like a wide, wide oak tree. And for that, I'm eternal grateful.